Hello, thank you for tuning in to Witnessing for Jesus. My name is Theodore Turner, and today we're going to be talking about eternal values. What's going to happen in your life? What's going to happen when you go to heaven? What's going to happen 1 minute after you die? These things have to be looked at. Most people either deal with the temporal, which is earthly, and they don't deal with the eternal at all. But we all need to be looking at what's going to happen to our eternal soul. We prepare so much for our budgets, for our cars, for the maintenance of things in our life. That's all temporal. We deal with our relationships. We argue, we live, we laugh, we have, we love, we're happy. That's the temporal. But the eternal is going to be when we're in heaven. So we need to look at eternal values and how that's going to affect our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It's very important that we realize that there's a lot of stuff going on in the background that we can't see. In eternity, we have angels, we have God, we have the things that are supposed to be put into our lives for us to do things with. It says God knew us before we were born. We need to do these things that God has said, and we need to look at the eternal part of our lives. Matthew 6:19 from the King James Version says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." What he's saying here, Matthew is telling us that Jesus said this, and that we need to lay up our thoughts for heaven and what's going to be in the future up there, not down here. If we don't think about the fact that we're planning on going to heaven, we may be get carried off on some sidetrack doing something like, oh, who knows what it would be. It could be like we could put all of our life into racing or riding horses or drawing pictures that have nothing to do with God. We really need to put time into things for God. Attitudes are interesting. They're indications of character. One chief interest and general life attitude serves as an indicator to what purposes and enjoyment desires dominate him. And that is how we spend our time. Do we spend our time on TV? Do we spend our time reading our Bible? This can be an indicator of what's really important for us. Do we spend our time in bars or partying or something like that? Or are we spending our time in church? Are you not even going to church? Not even going there and talking to someone and telling them you want to confess your sins, which you can do yourself, because it says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're not doing that from time to time, then you're probably not really concerned about the future. And it's an indicator of how your life is going in matters of religion and moral issues and stuff like that. And our attitudes show a lot about us, whether we're positive or we're negative. Sometimes when we're silent, when something's said about the church, that can prove a lot. Just being silent can prove a lot about us. Sometimes we need to make an attempt to say something about God when we can. It's known that human interests are divided. The entire range of human interested and activities are divided into two general considerations, the temporal and the unseen but heartfelt eternal. The attitude of the heart of these two things is decided if one Christian is going to do these things or not, whether he thinks about these things. We need to study the attitudes and desires which are ruling our hearts today. Where are you putting most of your efforts? Is most of your efforts in temporal, in your hobbies or other things, or are they eternal, where you're trying to help the church? Are you putting your efforts in things that are seen in the world or the things that are not seen? It says in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. And he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, these verses are talking about the temporal things down here that we get involved with. 2 Peter 3:10 says, "But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." We need to look at the fact that the Bible has told us that these things are going to happen, and even the scientists nowadays feel there are big problems. They're even saying maybe some of the big places in our country have volcanoes underneath them that could explode. So we need to just be aware of these things, that you never know how long your life's going to be. You need to look at the spiritual things, not the things of the earth. You need to look at what you're doing, where you're putting your time, and what would happen to you if 1 minute from now you died. Where would you be 1 minute from now? Would you be standing up there in the judgment of people that might and probably will go to hell? Or will you be standing next to the Christ and the angels with all the witnesses that are up there? Where will you be if you die in 1 minute from the time you hear this? 2 Peter 3:11 says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought yet to be in all holy conversations and godliness?" See, he's talking about our conversation and our godliness. They need to show in our conversations. You need to let people know that you're a Christian, not be afraid to do it. It may not be easy at first, but you need to, even if it's just one little word. I found one of the easiest things you can do is say, "Wow, I had a miracle in my life. My mother or my brothers, they got healed of something after being prayed for." You know, by the time you say that, they don't have any way to say, "Don't talk to me." But they've heard about a witness to a miracle that you told them about, and you've had a chance to put something in there. Sometimes that's the easiest way to do that. There are things that'll pass away in this world and you'll never see them again, like social prestige and worldly honor. The great president of ours was acclaimed just fantastic. How he saved his family before he was president, how he saved his mother and other people. But one terrible relationship mistake cost him most of his popularity and his office. And he was just really destroyed by that. Those are the kind of things that can pass away. And you know, many sports players, we all know, were held up on a pedestal until one mistake takes them out. They never seem to recover from their mistakes and their bad relationships. Many of them had divorces. Many of them had other problems. Our worldly possessions can pass away. These are earthly things. Riches can be easily lost. Judas lost his life and his soul for 30 pieces of silver. Many investors recently in some food companies lost billions overnight when these companies were affected by another large company that bought out some large grocery stocks and is going to start shipping food to people. Billions of dollars for these investors. Can you imagine if you had, say, $10,000 in an investment in some grocery stuff? Then you lost that and you only had $3,000 or $4,000 left overnight. Well, some people had a lot more than that. Other things that pass away will be worldly pleasures. Like you go out and you watch a movie, or you look at a book you shouldn't be looking at. Talk about Old Testament people that had this happen to. Belshazzar, in the height of his popularity and riches, saw the handwriting on the wall, and he ended up very, very terrible. Many of our movie stars have lost it all in one night of partying and drunken debauchery. The world and its goods are going to be gone. Look what's happening in the Middle East. We're definitely looking at the end of this world. You have these factions fighting. Thousands are dying over differences between these people, and they're not even Christians. And we can see the echoes of a world war over all this. The Bible says the mountains will move, the stars will fall, the sun will be darkened, the moon will be turned into blood. I really think we're headed towards that, and I think everyone in the world can see that these prophecies show us that it was going to happen, and now they know that it's probably going to happen just the way it said. And so we really need to ask God to help us to do the things we can while we have time to do it. There are things that will not pass away. They're eternal. God's holy word will not pass away. He said, "Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away." It's a promise from him of eternal life. and that we're going to be with Him. Our souls will be up there. We'll have new bodies. We'll be living in heaven with Him, walking on golden streets, talking with God and doing things He wants us to do. I'm sure He's got projects for us to do up there. Sure, He's got people we need to talk to, maybe children that need to be raised. It says, if a man believes in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. My mother, I will see again someday. She took care of us, my two brothers and me, three sons. She lived in poverty. She lived off the state when we were left out here in Arizona where we lived. And she did very well with the food she got. She would go down there and make sure she got the food, the free food she could get. She went to church and people from church would help us. I really thank her for taking care of us and for helping us to learn to be Christians. She taught us that we need to ask Jesus into our heart. We need to ask Him to forgive us for our sins and to get baptized. And we need to ask Him to help us to do the kind of things that will put His Holy Spirit in our life. She taught us that, and you need to do that today also. The righteous soul will not pass away. Like Lazarus, when he died, Jesus brought him back to life. It says we have an incorruptible inheritance, preserved in heaven will be. The rich man in heaven, the unrighteous soul and rich man looked up from hell, and his memories, his facilities, his conscience were all of no value to him then. All he could say was, please tell my brothers not to come here. I'm tormented. Our unseen friend and protector today is part of the eternal. He's behind the scenes. He knows what we need and how to protect us. In Joshua 5:14, he said, truly, I'm the commander of the Lord's army. Now I have arrived. Joshua will bow down with his face to the ground and ask, what does my master want me to do? The commander of the Lord said, remove your sandals from your feet because the place you stand is holy. We need to learn about holiness, sanctification, and cleansing and separation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's our friend. He's our Savior. He takes care of us. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of hell and of death. We want to see Jesus someday in the unseen city. Now, if our house, it says in this verse, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, we look not at the temporal, but at the eternal. We need to reign with Him, and we need to ask Jesus into our hearts today. If you haven't today, then you need to bow your head and you need to say this with me. Jesus, I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. I'm sorry for the evil life I've lived or the things I've done that are wrong. Whether they're sins of commission or sins of omission where I forgot to do something, I pray You'll forgive me, and I pray You'll come into my heart and teach me to be the kind of Christian I need to be and sanctify my heart and cleanse it and fill me with Your Holy Spirit and just help me to be the kind of person You want me to be. And then go out and get yourself baptized and find a church to go to. Jesus loves you very much, and He can take care of you. He can protect you. And you'll find out in the Bible the people who followed His rules were the ones who got the biggest blessings and the biggest miracles. So don't give up today. Don't be afraid. There's a verse in 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And that spirit of fear is worry. And you get some of that spirit of fear from watching TV, negative people, and stuff like that. You need to remember that He's given us power, which is our prayer. We can ask Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That power is where we can pray a prayer to Jesus in His name and ask God to take care of it. That love is when we go out and help our neighbors or a crippled person across the street. And a sound mind is something we all need with all the stress that's going on in this world. Well, I thank you for tuning in today to Witnessing for Jesus. Please be with us again next time.